This is East Carolina Hall of Famer and Utah Jazz first round draft pick Blue Edwards. You're listening to Pirate Basketball Overtime on the Sports Objective, your home for the best East Carolina hoops coverage.
Welcome into Pirate Basketball Overtime right here on the Sports Objective as a happy overtime as the Pirates get a big victory last night as they beat USF on the road, guys, 65-57. With us right now, Bubba Rosenbaum. What's up, dude?
Not a whole lot, Dave. Wish we could have done this show last night, but we already had the baseball show with Coach O and been upped and scheduled, but big win, second consecutive road win. So we wanted to reflect on it a little bit and, also look ahead to Sunday's rematch with UCF.
I tell you what, Matt Semenza, I'm so excited. For all the Dooley haters out there, I've been waiting a whole day. Where are you now? You're like roaches when we lose. You come out of the walls, but they go back in when we win. 13-12 on the year. Very excited, guys. One game over 500. I tell you what. I have the mucho respect for Johnny Dawkins. He's done a nice job down in Orlando. Who in the world wouldn't want to go to Disney World? You know, Orlando, you got beautiful weather, women, like all that. Well, sorry, that's probably we all saw the women audience here, but just a great atmosphere. I tell you what, guys, like we talk about bowl games, like games that are big for the football team, we treat like a bowl game. Like September 3rd when we beat NC State, but yeah, I had to throw that in there. For those of you watching right now, we're going to actually talk about the football schedule later in the show. We'll save the best for last, right, for that. But anyway, as far as basketball is concerned, if you look at the schedule, they're all important, but Sunday's matchup, guys, we've got two road wins, like Bubba said, on the road. And guys, I'm telling you, the UCF game is the next game on the schedule, but of what the games we have left, if there's somehow you could steal that game from Johnny Dawkins in Orlando on the road, you come back home. I mean, guys, look at the schedule we have left. You come back home, you have the USF team on Wednesday night. You have on next Saturday week, you have Tulsa at home. And then the final game of the year, I would probably say I would give the edge to Wichita State, but they're not the Wichita State that we're used to. They're a little down. We have the talent. And I tell you what, guys, I don't think people realize how much Brandon Suggs means to this team, but he means a lot to this team. And if we hadn't had the shoulda, coulda, woulda, Matt, you know how it is playing without some of your teammates when they're injured, but losing him for all those games really hurt us. And I wish we could have those games back, but that's not the real world. But I'm just overall, I'm tickled to death because – we really, truly have a legitimate shot to have a winning season. Whether we will get there, I don't know. But I feel a lot more confident this week than maybe, say, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, and Suggs, he's one of those guys. You don't always miss him until he's gone. You don't realize the impact he has on the game. And it's the little things he does. Like, I've seen him take numerous charges since he's returned. Those little things, a lot of guys don't have the guts to stand in there when you have a 240-pounder running the floor and coming down on a fast break. He is not afraid to step in there and take a charge. He'll give you rebounds. He'll give you some passing. He's not a dynamic scorer, but he will give you points. He's just one of those guys. He does little things. And, like earlier in the season, you don't realize his impact. But now that he was, missing for several games, you could really feel it. So hopefully they can take this momentum and carry it forward to UCF.
Hey, Bubba, help me out on that. You're the numbers guy. Off the top of my head, what is Suggs averaging, like 10, 12 points a game?
It's somewhere in that neighborhood. I don't recall exactly, I think he did. He did have some bad turnovers last night there in the first half, made some very careless one-handed passes. And you know, the team as a whole did turn the ball over 17 times, but fortunately, it was much better after halftime than it was in the first half. I think we
They had
had
what, nine?
of those 17, I think at least 10 or 11 were in the first half, and that's something Coach Dooley, excuse me, referenced in the post game, just how taking better care of the basketball because we were shooting it pretty well, even though. In Coach Dooley's words, we were discombobulated on the offensive end for much of the night. We were still shooting the ball pretty well. And also, you had Tristan Newton, and he had 10 assists, but he also had seven turnovers.
I don't.
And Coach Dooley thought USF had a pretty good game plan when it came to him and the way they defended him. And Vance had another pretty solid night. I think he's 5 out of 12 for so just below 50% from the floor, but he knocked down some big shots at clutch times, and then he and several others knocked down free throws. We were 20 out of 24 from the line, and that's something that Michael Perry, color analyst alongside Jeff Charles on the radio network, really emphasized in the post game how we made more free throws than USF attempted.
Yeah, when I look back at it, it's funny you mentioned that, Bubba. When I look back at the stats, that's the big one that jumps out. 20 for 24 from the free throw line. USF only got to the line 10 times for the game. So there's your difference. We shot at a high rate. Most of our misses, I think we had three misses in the last, 4 minutes of the game. So we were very efficient from the free throw line all night. And there it is. There it is right there. So 83% from the line, that's a winning number. 45% on field goals, you can definitely live with that. The one that continues to kind of jump out at you here is the 3-point percentage. I think to beat a team like UCF on the road, we're going to have to shoot threes at a much higher percentage to pull that one off on the road. But all in all, pretty efficient game the other night.
Yeah, and another thing is, the Bubba and I talk about this, Matt, and I know I don't think you get into it as much as we do, but I know how much you do love basketball. But as far as the we get very frustrated easily with the as far as the people that are the keyboard, people that message boards, and I'm not anti-message boards because there's a lot of great people like us on there that just because you disagree with someone, that's fine. But the people that make idiotic comments and they're acting like the thing that drives me crazy with certain Pirate fans right now. You have Duke, Kentucky, UCLA. You take a team like Memphis right now, they're starting to win again. But you understood why the fans were very frustrated because they have a winning tradition in Memphis. Memphis is a basketball town. And so you understand when they're losing and Penny Hardaway gets frustrated, you understand why that is because they are basketball folks. But at East Carolina, we don't have the winning, we don't have any kind of tradition in basketball. It's always been football and baseball, basically. And so when you have a chance right now, one game over 500, if you're one of the blue bloods, then you're going, yeah, Dooley's going to be gone. But as far as we had a program that was losing. Check this out, guys. For those of you Dooley haters, we lost to Central Connecticut State. Central Connecticut State a few years ago, okay, and Matt's territory.
That hurts me more, I think, probably than anybody living in Connecticut. So let me just jump in there. That I remember watching that. I was not, again, not to cut off your train of thought here, but I have a lot of friends who went to Central Connecticut State, and let me tell you, I didn't hear the end of that one for a long time. So anyway.
Yeah, just want to remind you, you have to know, my parents said, don't forget where you came from. The APR was terrible. We were a joke. The program now is at a point where we're competitive. There's games that we should win, we're not. Where there's games we probably shouldn't win, we are. Last night was a 50-50 game, and we won it. And I think UCF is a better team than us. Tremendous coach with Johnny Dawkins, of course, player of the year in 1986 with Duke. Took Coach K to the first, Final Four, and all that with Duke. But he's done a nice job at UCF, and I think that that's going to be a tough game for us to win. We're going to have to play out of our mind. Like you said, the 3-point shooting has got to be on. And guys, maybe I'm off on this, and Pays and Charles and Craig, you guys that are chiming in on Facebook and YouTube, help me out. But what's going on with Tristan Newton? I'm not anti-Newton. I love him, but he just seems to be out of sorts. And I love he's one of my favorite players on the Pirate team, but he just doesn't seem to be himself. I don't know. It's something I didn't want to talk about, but it's been going on for a while now, and I've, like, ignored it because I don't want to come across as one of those in your neck of the woods, Matt, in, like, New York, those shock jocks. That's not who I am. I'm not Stephen A. Smith. I love Stephen A., but that's not who I am. I love Tristan, but something's going on there, and I'm not quite sure what it is. I can't put my finger on it, so I want to pitch it to you guys. Maybe you guys, with your eyes, have seen something that I haven't.
I have some thoughts. I think Bubba was about to chime in, though. Bubba, you want to hop in on that one?
No, as far as Tristan's concerned, you know, he has, in many respects, some very solid numbers. 17.5 points a game. And then I think overall I have to look and see. I'm at he had certainly turned the ball over way too much.
That's where I'm at.
About 3.5 turnovers a game, between 3.5 and 4 turnovers a game. Last night he had 7. But he did have 10 assists. He had a double double, and I think he we'll go ahead and go to those individual numbers and scoring leaders last night for East Carolina. And since we're on Tristan Newton, and we'll start there, Tristan had 14 points, 10 assists, and 6 rebounds. So not a bad night by any means. But, yeah, those 7 turnovers, that can't happen. And that's definitely a season high from what I recall. I know he's had other games where he's had 4 and 5, which is too many, but – also, Vance Jackson last night, 16 points, 4 rebounds in 33 minutes. We mentioned the Sug Boat earlier, as he was dubbed by Chandler Honeycutt at Pirate Radio. Brandon had 13 points, 4 out of 9 from the floor, and knocked down 4 out of 6 from the charity stripe. TRW, Tremont Robinson-White, he had 10 points and 6 rebounds. And then Luigi DeBeau continued to play much better basketball than he had for much of his career. And Coach Dooley, you'd heard him say it, you know, he just has to play in the games the way we see him at practice. And it seems like he's finally doing that out at Tulsa. He had, I want to say, he scored in double figures in that game. And then, you know, the most recent home game against SMU, he had double figures with 11 rebounds. And then last night he had 6 points and 8 rebounds, as you see there on the screen for those viewing. So Luigi DeBeau, we just need to continue to get that from him down the stretch, and we'll be in great shape.
I tell you what, when you can have the guys, when you can have the inside game that we're starting to see, a lot of points in the paint I was really happy with last night. If you could get the 3-point shooting with that inside paint presence that we've had here recently, man, we might have a chance to win a game or two in the American tournament. I'm not saying that we will happen, but it's going to take a balanced game. You know, it's kind of like with football, with the pass and the run. I love both of them. Same thing with the inside and outside game of basketball. You need both. They're complementary, and you can't, this day and age, you've got to be able to shoot threes, but at the same time, you cannot live and die by the three. And so – for me, I tell you what, TRW, man, guys, with the defense, that guy is incredible. He is playing his butt off. And I finally am impressed with Dooley with what I've been saying all along is TRW is your point guard, and Newton is really your number two. He's more of a shooting guard. And the two of them together on the floor, I love having both of those guys on the floor. I don't know how you guys feel. I haven't mentioned it this season, but starting to see those two guys together, really, I'm really happy because I've been wanting that for quite a while.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting to see those two on the floor. I think, Robinson White, he brings that speed element. You know, he can get up and down the floor quick. He's got a tremendous handle when you watch him. He can really handle the ball. So certainly, you know, like to see that combination. But just hopping back really quick to Newton, Dave, you had kind of pointed out that he's struggling a little bit more recently. I think the biggest difference when you look back at earlier in the season teams are keeping him out of the paint. Teams are doing a really good job of basically keeping him out on the perimeter on pick and roll, especially. And he's having a hard time getting into the paint where he's really crafty. He's got, when you watch him like inside 15 feet, he's got a lot of like, craftiness to his game. He's got ball fakes. He's got a little fadeaway he can go to. He's really kind of fun to watch. But they're doing a really good job at that. And, that's obviously a problem for him because he can't get going sometimes. But it's an even bigger problem because we can't penetrate and kick. So we're a little easier to defend on the perimeter. So I think if we can find ways to get him into the paint a little bit more, it opens up everything. It opens up the penetrating kick out to guys like Vance Jackson on the perimeter. And it'll really help us. I think that's another thing you got to really look at when we get into these games against teams like, UCF and, Wichita State, and we're struggling to score points. Like, how do we come up with some baskets? If you can get into the paint, it makes all the difference in the world. So I think teams are just defending him different. They know he's kind of the go-to guy, and they're making a concerted effort to keep him on the perimeter.
Yeah, they're taking him out of the game, right, Bub? I mean, that was my one of my observations is maybe you say, hey, if we're going to lose to East Carolina, we're going to take Newton out and take our chances on some of the other players because he had some games where he gets a 25, 30 points. You can't have Newton if you're playing against East Carolina. You can't have Newton score 25 or 30 against you, no matter how great, unless you're Houston. But I tell you what, coming down the stretch, these are some crucial games. Some crucial games, like I said, when you have Sunday UCF, when you have Tulsa, when you have USF on Wednesday night, and then you have next Saturday when you have Tulsa home, and again the road game with Wichita State. Wichita State usually scares me. I would give the edge to Wichita State because it's at Wichita State and they have such a great fan base there. They love the Shockers and they really do a good job selling that arena, but otherwise not the year that you're thinking of. So with the remaining four games, you see three out of four that you could really win and maybe we can steal Sunday as well.
Yeah, that Wichita State game, USF went out there and at Wichita and lost by 3 points and had an opportunity to win. And we've historically played pretty well out there. You think back to that game, I guess it's a couple years ago now when Cliff Godwin made the trip and really played well that day. And I just didn't make the plays down the stretch, but if we play the way we can play, and that's definitely a game that is there for the taking. And that's why I say it would not shock me at all to see us get to 16 wins or maybe even more, win a game or two in the tournament. But, going back to some of the team numbers from yesterday, we talked about how Coach Dooley said we shot pretty well. Finished the game 45.5%, 20 out of 44. But you notice, and part of it was because we were shooting, it was two things. USF had those 17 more attempts because we shot a lot more free throws than they did. And then also look at that 17 turnovers as opposed to 10 for the Bulls. So we were able to overcome that 17 turnover number because of our proficiency from the charity stripe. And then also we held a nice edge 37 to 29 on the glass. And then USF during the first half, I know we were talking about this in our group text and just the way they were knocking down three after three, and they were the worst three-point shooting team in the country. And then they had just actually made eight against Tulane, and then they knocked down six in the first half last night. And I was like, where in the world is this coming from? But they cooled off severely in the second half and only knocked down two.
Yeah, that was in the first half, that was a storyline for me, for them, was the very fact of those three-pointers because, like you said, Bubba, I did not see that coming. I thought, ironically, I thought we would shoot the three better, like in the first half, you know. So I'm thinking, okay, we're going to shoot threes pretty well. They're probably going to get a whole bunch of points in the paint. It seemed like it was the reverse. We did better in the paint, and they did better on the with the three ball. So that was kind of – that's why you play the games, right? You don't know what to expect, and that really caught me off guard.
And that's the awesome thing about college basketball more than any other sport. It's kind of a night-to-night situation where, you know, a team can get hot or they can go cold. Anything can really happen. You know, you really always have a chance to win if you come ready to play. So that's why I'm pretty optimistic about Sunday. It's going to be a tough out, but if we come ready to play, if we're shooting well, we could definitely get that game. And, you know, I think, you know, looking back on the other night, we were very efficient. We didn't wow anybody offensively. We weren't like incredibly dynamic, but we were efficient and we took what was available. I'm sure Coach Dooley is looking at some of those late turnovers because we really could have run away with that game.
Yeah.
Could have opened it up maybe 15, 17 points. If we can clean some of those things up, I think, you know, we could see what happens here. It's going to be an interesting, you know, ending to the season.
I was listening to the radio broadcast, and I tell you what was frustrating to me, guys, as Bubba knows, one of the stats that I paid close attention to, I always say as a coach, the difference between a good team and a great team is free throws. Well, overall, we did great. I'm not saying I'm not critical because there was a time in our recent and not so recent past that our free throw shooting was god awful. And yes, I just said that. Man, we missed. There was two different times back to back where we only got one out of two. We were the double. Thank God we were in the double bonus. We got at least a point each time. But instead of getting 4 points, we only got 2 points. And we allowed them, you're talking about allowing them to get back, you know, to stay in the game. You know, those kind of things when you're only getting 1 point and they might get two or three on their end. I'm not a mathematician like Bubba, but I'm smart enough to figure out that they cut it to what, Bubba, 4 points?
Hey, but overall, we shot free throws great. I mean, we were 20 out of 24. We're 83% from the line.
I'm not complaining. I'm just saying that we needed both those. And that's one thing that Tristan Newton, man, he has ice in his veins. What is it, 86% from the line? I mean, I don't even think he – did he miss a free throw last night? I don't remember if he – I don't think he did. But, I mean, that's one area that he's still way, 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 way above average. I think at one point, Bubba, he was second in the league. For free throw shooting. I don't know if he still is, but something like 86% from the line. I mean, I'm not complaining about the free throw shooting. I'm just saying when Matt was talking about pulling away from the game, those little things like that, where you're missing the front end, it's a double bonus. Yes, but you know, that's those points. When we have these 50-50 games that we're competitive now, that's the difference between winning and losing. It's razor thin margins.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when we were up 10 with 55 seconds left, I've seen too much Pirate basketball through the years to turn off the TV.
Amen, and, brother.
And not just Pirate basketball. I've seen too much basketball in general. I mean, stuff can happen. I mean, you remember that Duke-Maryland game from several years ago where Duke came back from down 10. I don't know whether it was – Coalfield House or the Comcast Center at that point, but whatever, it was at Maryland, and that was a tremendous comeback.
You know what happened? I can tell you what happened. I was at a bar that night, and I was living in Nag's Head, and I'm at the bar, and they have the game on, and I was like, wow, Duke's going to lose this one, right? And what happened was, it's about a minute to go, and Jason Williams, Jay Williams has a morning show on ESPN now, the analyst. What happened was all of a sudden the Maryland students started clapping their hands and chanting, overrated, overrated. And he literally went off and took over the game, what they call the miracle minute for that game. But that was back in 2001. I'll never forget it because, I mean, who saw that coming? But you're absolutely right, Bub. I mean, the thing about basketball is that it can change, the momentum can change so fast. Probably faster than, I mean, what other sport can it change that fast? For the matter of seconds, you can go from feeling comfortable to you're sweating. You're like, oh my God, it seems like that last night's game, like the last like 2 minutes of the game feels like an hour. I'm like, come on. You know, like, why does the clock stopping 59 seconds and then it's 30 seconds. I'm like, hurry up.
Yeah, I have like I'm scarred big time when it comes to like the last few minutes of basketball games. Not only being an ECU fan, but guys, I'm a Knicks fan. And so I have Reggie Miller flashbacks in my head all the time. Like, it never leaves me. You know, I'm picturing like Spike Lee on the sideline egging on Reggie Miller. I want to go tackle Spike. You know, shut up. You know, but and I'll tell you something, like, not to bore you guys with Knicks stuff, but in the last 2 weeks, the Knicks have blown 4 20-point leads.
What was the 28-point lead the other night?
28-point lead against the Brooklyn Nets, who didn't have Durant, didn't have Kyrie. Harden had been traded. I mean, they were playing with, like, second and third stringers. They go into Madison Square Garden, down 28, down 18 in the fourth quarter, and win the game. It's just, like, the way it is now in basketball, these guys shoot threes at such a high rate, even in college. They're so – it's changed the biggest difference in the game, like, not to pontificate here and get off on another topic, but when you look at basketball over the last 10 years, the way guys are shooting threes, the percentages and the ability to, like, especially for the big men to step out, you know, the stretch four, they step out and shoot threes at such a high rate. They're so hard to defend. And a 10-point lead is nothing. I mean, you could blow a 10-point lead in 45 seconds, the way these guys shoot threes now. So I agree with you guys, but yeah, I when it comes to ECU and the Knicks, don't ever rest on your laurels. Like, a 10-point lead is nothing, like Bubba said.
Like I've said many times, the biggest enigma in all of sports is how in the world do you have the best arena in all of basketball, the mecca of basketball, in my opinion. You have guys that are on the streets near Madison Square Garden that could win championships for you. I'm serious. Like, I don't understand how in the world, and I feel for you, because you have a great logo, you have a great mascot, you have like a lot of great tradition way, way back. And I'm just wondering, like, how in the world the Knicks like can't win a championship when you're in the number one city in America, you have like that arena, there's a lot of passionate fans like you got, like you, Matt. I just don't understand it. I mean, you had Pat Riley and you couldn't win a championship. I mean, good God. And you're in the finals, but I still don't understand. That's the biggest enigma. You would think if you didn't know anything about basketball, you think New York, you would think, man, I bet that team has the most championships or right up there in the NBA. And this, by the way, guys, is this weekend, they're celebrating at the All-Star game, the 75th anniversary of the league. You would think that the Knicks had a lot of championships. It blows my mind.
And the last one was before we were even born. 1971, I believe, with Clyde Frazier and Earl the Pearl Monroe. I mean, that's how far back we're going here. So anyway, I don't want to bore everybody with my Knicks talk, but, you know, but it's Bubba's fault because he mentioned blowing 10-point lead. So
No, I couldn't believe that when I saw that. I didn't even text you because I'm like, I bet Matt's throwing the phone against the wall. He's probably shooting his television with his gun like Elvis used to, because I couldn't believe I saw the score and I thought you're going to win it. And then when I heard that the Nets came back, especially when Kyrie has his own opinion, I mean, but I won't go there how I feel about that, but just frustrating how he's sitting out all the home games. I'm like, you're getting paid way too much money. Get vaccinated. I don't want people to get mad at me about the anti-vaxxers, but when it comes to sports, I'm like, come on, dude. Like, really, come on. But anyway, and you have, like, what Harden is now with the 76ers, you know, like, that Nets team, I don't know what Ben Simmons will see, but we're not NBA talk. I know that. Bubba, with the, you know, with the – with Dooley right now, I'm really happy. I think when you look at this team, I tell you another thing about this team that I like a lot is if people say, Dave, why would you keep Dooley? I'll tell you why. The toughness of Dooley, the competitor that Dooley is, these teams, speaking of these teams in the past, pre-Dooley, would have folded and we would have lost by when we were competitive. And then at the end of the game, we're down 12, you know, 14, 16. They'll start making, we'll have to foul, and then we're down by 6 or 8 points. And for me personally, I'm just really excited that now we're winning games that before we were so close. And you could argue between the Suggs being out and those some of those games we should have won early in the non-conference that we could easily have 18 or 19 right now. But anyway, it is what it is, and I'm just really excited. Bubba, with that UCF game, how do you feel about it? Do you think that we have a shot? What's your feelings on it? What are your feelings?
Well, before we move on and talk more about UCF, last night we didn't have any post-game audio with the game being on the road, but we're able to, collect some of Coach Dooley's comments from listening to the post-game, with Jeff Charles and Mike Perry. And Coach said, he said, we shot the ball and guarded well tonight. The guys stepped up, made some free throws, and took care of the basketball late in the game. We're working towards playing our best basketball here near the end of the regular season. And then, some of the other things that he touched on, kind of summarized or paraphrased, if you will, points of emphasis. He really talked about what we did as far as just not turning the ball over as much and really had a chance to turn what was, 6, 7, 8 point lead for a fairly large percentage of the game into a 12 to 15 point game or more. He talked about the clutch free throw shooting by a variety of guys. Talked about, how discombobulated we were on offense, as I referenced earlier. He said that USF, when they hard hedged on the ball screens against Tristan Newton, they did an excellent job there. Thought they had an excellent game plan. And then, even though he didn't have big statistics on the night, Alexis Reyes had a big offensive rebound there in the second half.
Yeah, he did. And, Matt, I'm happy with – that's another thing you can talk about a coach, no matter what sport it is, the recruiting. When you look at these kids that are coming out, I tell you what, the Felton kid is definitely – he can play on my team anytime. I really like his play. I like the kind of guy, the dribble drive. I like the aggressive guys. A guy like a guard that could shoot a three, but I like Tristan Newton, you were talking about earlier. I like a guy that can take it to the basket and be aggressive. I think that's one part of the basketball game. Of course, I love threes. I love them, but it's too finesse for me. I like a guy that's a blue collar guy, take it and, stuff it, like put stuff it in your face. that's my kind of player. And Felton to me has really made me really happy to see that. That we have a future with the same thing with Reyes. I think he's going to be tremendous. And I hope I'm right. And that Dooley will be back and that guys we'll have Winston Tabbs back. I hope that he is back and that we have him where he can play at his ability. We won't have Vance Jackson or JJ Miles, those guys back that are seniors, but we I'm really excited about our future because you look at the guys that we had freshmen this year, look at the recruits we have coming in next year. You look at the transfer portal. I mean, Dooley never sleeps. The guy never sleeps. I think that he must have like 3-4 hours of sleep is probably all he's getting right now. But I'm really tickled about the future. And my coach in baseball used to say, God rest his soul, he passed away last year. But he always used to say, finish strong. And that's what I hope for the Pirates is we finish strong because – that'll be great going into the next season.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you kind of feel for Dooley, like Vance Jackson, you just wish he had another year here at East Carolina because, it's so hard to turn over your roster this much every year. And, you get a guy like him where sometimes it looks like he's really not doing much. And then quietly, you look up at the stat sheet and he's got 15, 16 points. Yeah. And you're like, where did this come from? He's kind of like one of those guys, but you wish you had him for another year to really build on it. And then maybe you can go out and add another player like him in the transfer portal, add some more length. But I think that's the hardest thing when you're for Joe Dooley. It's like, how do you now go back so quickly into the portal and replace a guy like that in the offseason. And then at the same time, you need to hope and pray that, and I I'm not suggesting, this is just a hypothetical. You got to hope and pray that a guy like Tristan Newton doesn't consider options at other schools around the country. You got to keep this roster together and build on it. So it's a tough time to be a tough time to be a Division I basketball coach.
Well, that's why you lost Roy Williams last, for this year. And next year you won't have Mike Krzyzewski, two Hall of Famers, because they're like, hey, man, I'm getting out of here. You have to constantly recruit the guys on your team, and you have to do the transfer portal, and you have to – there's a lot of elements there. And then having the name, image, and likeness, hopefully we can get – I hate to bring Congress in this mix, but not to talk politics, other to say we're going to have national legislation – because the NIL is such a wild, wild west for many ways, and we're not going to get off the tangent, but that's another piece that, I don't know. We'll see how that plays out for all the sports, but basketball is one that, you take a Tristan Newton, who's from Texas. What if he goes to Houston? What if he goes to Texas, the Longhorns? You can think about all the schools in the Big 12 that could use a Tristan Newton that come to mind, but you make a great point with that, Matt. He's a guy that I've been nervous about. It's crossed my mind two or three times, especially when he's going bonkers, taking over the games, 25, 30 points. And he had moments where, especially early in the season. And I think another thing, too, with Tristan, one thing I failed to mention earlier on is that the competition now at the American level, when you have a Houston, Cincinnati, Memphis, when you start naming those, look at Tulane. Tulane has Coach Hunter's a great program now. Not great, but they're improving. Their improvement is great compared to where they were. So you start seeing a lot of those schools are better, and we're better. We're a lot better than what we were, and we're going to be even better, I think, in the next year or two. So I know that we'll see how things play out with Dooley. We'll see how things play out the rest of the season. But, Bubba, unless they lose all four, I can't imagine Dooley not being back unless he decides that. I think the only way Dooley's not back next year, I'll say this, is if he chooses not to be back. That's what I think. I don't think that Gilbert is going to pull the trigger on a guy that the team is better and the program is better than it was. There's no question about it.
Yeah, yeah, it'll be interesting to see, how everything unfolds. Honestly, at this point, with no inside knowledge, you hate to speculate on something like that, but you have heard that from different places that covered the program pretty closely on that they have heard that could be a possibility, so we shall see, but my biggest thing is, hey, if something like that happens, if Coach Dooley elects to go in another direction, then, obviously, thanks for everything you've done, and we'd wish him well, and no hard feelings. But at the same time, just pull for the Pirates down the stretch, and there's no need to constantly regurgitate, some of these people, it's almost like they want us to lose because it's going to back their agenda, and because they want to get Joe out and get somebody else in. If he needs to be fired, then it's not always going to be crystal clear like it is with some coaching changes, but just see how the stretch goes with these four games and then whatever we play in the tournament. And if the wheels fall off, then maybe a change needs to be made. But right now, that's not the case. You don't see a team that's given up. And some people will say, well, USF and Tulsa are horrible.
But those are games we used to lose.
And yes, they are not good basketball teams. And there's no sugarcoating that. But at the same time, down through the years, we haven't been a good basketball team either. And we struggled to beat anybody, no matter how bad they were, for the majority of our history. So it's all about taking steps. I mean, you know, much like last year when football won down at South Florida, was that a big win in terms of, you know, beating a quality opponent? No, but South Florida had dominated us for our history, and in the course of our program's development, that was a big win, us beating South Florida. Yes. So that's where I'm coming from with some of the things that I've put out there on social media and otherwise, as far as our record in non-conference play. Yes, our schedule is pretty soft. There's no denying that. But we've played pretty soft schedules in our past and not gone 15-3 over a 2-year stretch. And so that's kind of that's where I'm coming from.
And just when you have the Dooley haters, just say those three. I mean, that was embarrassing, real embarrassing. And and it's not like that's happened quite a bit in our history. You know, where we lose games we shouldn't lose, but like Division II games, you know, things like that. It's embarrassing. But hey, that's my point. I love our good friend Alan Vick says, if the team finishes over 500 this year with the competition and everything going on, we should throw Dooley a parade and declare Joe Dooley Day in Greenville. I agree with him because, I mean, winning seasons are hard to come by. I mean, that's what I'm going at. It's not like this team was, let's say that hypothetically.
This would be our third winning season in 25 years. Third winning season in a quarter century.
That's just,
and that's where I'm coming from. I'm not acting like, you know, we just missed a couple of very big opportunities. Great, what would have been very solid wins over Oklahoma and Davidson. Those are the wins that all of us are wanting. But at the same time, you know, we're progressing, and you know, slowly but surely, not as fast as anybody wants. But you know, we're starting to win some of those games that you feel like we should win, be it those non-conference games or be it games like last night against USF or that game on the road against Tulsa. Because Tulsa, yes, their record is very poor, but they're a much better basketball team than USF. And Tulsa nearly – and then they gave Houston a very pretty close contested game, I think. Maybe 10 points or something like that at Houston.
The thing is that, you know, there's no magic wand here at East Carolina when it comes to basketball. We're not going to go out and have a recruiting class with Zion Williamson, right, RJ Barrett, and Cam Reddish. It's not going to happen here. There is no magic wand. So you're always in a process where you're building. And like, what I really want to see is the true sign of when a coach has lost a team. And I certainly don't think he has. It's sort of been proven over the last week with two road wins. But you can see the body language on the floor. And, like, what I want to see on Sunday at UCF, even if we lose that game, I want to see guys fighting. I want to see guys diving on the floor for 50-50 balls.
Yes.
You know, getting dirty. You know, get your hands dirty. Rebound. Play tough defense. You know, think about how you're finishing the season. And, it, you know, even if you go down there, and don't get me wrong, I'm not into moral victories or anything like that, but when you're evaluating this coach down the stretch, you got to really look at how hard this team plays. So you really want to see that, especially on Sunday, because it's going to be a tall order to go down there and get a win. So you want to see these guys just play like animals, man. Get on the floor, win 50-50 balls, get dirty, rebound. Contest every single shot, you know, get out, because what UCF does, they can really spread you and they can shoot threes at a high rate, as we saw in the last 5 minutes in Greenville when they played us. So we need to contest every single shot and let's see what happens. But that's one of the big things I'm looking for here from this team down the stretch.
Hey, Bubba, with that very fact that you, Matt, you're making a great point with that, because for me, Bubba, when you're looking at the games that really hurt, you're talking about the Oklahoma game, you talk about the Davidson game, the Liberty game, guess what, folks? The only game, and you look at the body of work this season, the only game we had no chance is the Houston game. And that Houston team, they're probably at least Elite Eight team again this year. Who knows? They might make the Final Four. But they are a really good basketball team. And guess what? They were really, let's just be honest, they were really pissed that we knocked them off last year. And you know that Samson, being the competitor he is, circled that team as a team from North Carolina. He's from North Carolina. He has a vacation home here in North Carolina, comes back during the offseason. He wanted that win really, really bad, and they made damn sure. I was so frustrated with that game because I was worried about that. What I feared is exactly what happened. But that's the only game that we were embarrassed. The only game that comes to mind. I can't think of any other game. Every game we've had a chance to win. Again, you're right, Matt. No moral victories. But when you consider this program, how bad we've been, we have no tradition. Those of us that are college basketball fans, we want so desperately for our alma mater. If you're in Pirate Nation, you want us to win so bad. We're kind of like Matt, we're kind of like the Chicago Cubs of the past, that they were so bad. You loved them, but they were so bad. Well, that's the way Pirate basketball is for me. It's like one of these days, you know, that will just to make – I tell you what, guys, just for me, I think we're knocking at the door. It won't be this year, but I think we're knocking at the door of the NIT. Just to make the NIT, I would be doing a backflip if I could. I don't want to end up in the ED, but you guys can come visit me. We're very, very close. I really believe that. It's not a cop-out, a cliche. I really believe we're close with this basketball program. And the biggest thing is, finally, guys, is that I'll say, and Bubba, I'm sorry, I'll pitch it to you, is the very fact that, Bubba, I might be stealing your thunder, but what do we have? Two more basketball games at home left. Let's get out there and support Pirate Nation. Get out there and let's be loud. When that place is loud, when that place is rocking, just like Clark LeClaire, just like Dowdy Ficklin, when that place is loud, there's not a person that has a chance to win. Maybe an NBA team could beat us, but when we're so loud in that place, it really makes a huge difference. I thought Bubba was going to say something, so I stopped.
And there's no more loyal fan than Bubba. All the driving he does to be at these games. God. So you know he'll be there loud and proud for sure.
Yeah, I tell you what, between he – I don't know who's louder, him or his dad. I think his dad maybe, Gary, with the jungle calls. If you've ever wanted to be entertained at a ball game, you need to sit with his dad. His dad – Bubba's awesome, obviously – but his dad is very entertaining at the ball games. I love it.
Really? Okay. All right.
Yeah, you have to sit with Bubba's dad, Gary Rosenbaum.
Yeah, I will definitely put that one in the memory bank.
Bubba, can we do like a YouTube documentary or can you do like a video and put it up on YouTube? I think the fans of our show would love to see it. Yeah, Craig said that Bubba didn't fall asleep. He's not asleep yet.
No, I'm here. I didn't know why you thought I was about to chime in, but I was going to, whenever you were finished, going to get to some of these comments.
Yeah, go for it.
Like Craig said, he said some fans, you're not going to please regardless. And look at some of these comments after today's baseball game as the Pirates lost to Bryant 10-2. Overrated, what a joke, he said, et cetera. And he said, it's ridiculous. No doubt, Craig, obviously you're always going to have that lunatic fringe that they're going to overreact. They're going to say things that are ridiculous. Some of the folks know better, and they're just really passionate about the Pirates and just frustrated with the way that particular game's going, and some just don't know better. They're just ignorant. They love the Pirates, but they don't understand it, and they don't understand that the other team's trying to win too, that Bryant's won 9 straight conference championships, even if it is the Northeast Conference. Bryant's a quality baseball program, but at the same time, you saw Cliff Godwin after that game. He apologized to Pirate Nation. I expect us to come out and take care of business these next couple days. It's not going to be easy, but I really think we, still come out and win the series. I mean, we've seen it through the years in baseball. Remember, these years where we've hosted, you've had losses to an Air Force or whomever. It's going to happen. I know North Carolina one year, I hate to bring them up, but, one year when they went to Omaha, they lost to Campbell, and we lost to Campbell that year. We were a super regional team. And you know how many games Campbell won that year? It was something like 8. And two of their wins were over in North Carolina and East Carolina. So it's just part of it. It sucks, but it's nothing to freak out about.
Yeah,
Alan Vick also chimed in, said, think about when we beat Marquette, beating State in December of 07, one of the best college basketball atmospheres he's ever been a part of. And I've been to a lot of games. Nothing compares to Minji's when it's rocking. That's always been my thing, Alan. If we can find a way to put a quality product on the court consistently, the nation and them finding out about Minji's Coliseum and seeing it game in, game out, be what it's been on those isolated occasions. I hope, and I really think someday we're going to make that happen.
Yeah, you're looking at right now, guys, where you think about Suggs doesn't go down, with the same thing with that. Alan says people that make stupid comments like about today's baseball games don't know whether to wipe their rear ends or wind their watch. Yeah, thank you, AV. Always great perspective, great humor. He's the best. You're right. I tell you, this is the thing that Pirate Nation drives me crazy. And I was thinking about that because I knew with that, I was just rolling my eyes when, we're down like 7-0, we end up losing, 10-2. Is that, let me ask you guys this. Did you guys, and I know the answer to this, but I'm just throwing this out there. How many fans really thought we were going to go 56-0 in the regular season, for baseball, for example? It happens. Baseball, even major league teams lose. They're not going to win. They're not going to play 162 games. Well, that's a whole other show, as they say. Shame on Major League Baseball for their problems right now. But anyway, they're not going to go 162-0 if it was a regular season without a lockout. Baseball is a marathon, not a sprint. If it was you guys, like in Matt, football losses are huge because there's only 12 games, 11 when you were playing. I mean, so those are going to be obviously like a microscope. When you lose a game or two or three, you're like, oh my God, we only have 12, but in baseball, you have 56 games. So I really thought it was crazy. But before we go, because we talked a lot and we were not planning on being on this long, Matt, I know we're doing a show overtime, but we want to mention about the football schedule that came out and the remaining minutes we have left on the show. I tell you what, I'm going to just put it out there right now. I'm not trash talking, but September 3rd, NC State, you better be treating this like a bowl game. You better take the Dave Doran. You better take this game seriously, because if you don't, I really believe there's going to be 51,000 people in there. I think it's going to be rocking. You want to talk about a loud crowd? I think this is going to be the best crowd, guys, since the 2014 game with UNC. I really, really do. I think the atmosphere, the tailgating, just everything's going to be great. And NC State is going to have to play out of their mind to beat East Carolina on September 3rd. I believe that with our team coming back, I know we have some question marks, but looking on the schedule, if you beat NC State, not to say you can lose, you can't lose any other games, because you can, but man, if you can beat NC State September 3rd, you're off to the races. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I mean, if you're Mike Houston right now, you're looking at the schedule and you're just licking your chops. I mean, first four games at home. So you have a chance, to get through September. All right. With, obviously you have a chance to go 4-0. Every single game is winnable. All right. If you were to drop that opener, NC State, you could still come through that month 3-1. with, and then you're heading into American play at USF, I think, is the first game in October. So what a chance to get off to a great start. But I agree, Dave, that stadium's going to be rocking. It's going to be reminiscent of Scotty Moe's first game. Dare I say, Scotty Moe's first game in Dowdy-Ficklin, right, against NC State, where we – was that his second – okay, his second game.
Western Carolina was the first, but –
Thank you. So we won that game. That was his. That was the highlight of the Scotty Moe era. But that day, the crowd was rocking. That was an awesome day in the stadium. So I anticipate the same thing. And like you said, if NC State doesn't come ready to play, they will lose.
Yeah, it could be a game where they play well, we play well. We could squeak out. You know, it's a fourth quarter game. Either way, we could win it. You know, or we could lose it, a close game. But I really believe that game, NC State, I think that our team is really gelling. And I really believe with the Blake Harrell's defense, I really love the best defense we've had in a good while. And I think we're going to be fine on, you know, people are in the panic room about our team. I think we're going to be perfectly fine. I really do.
Yeah. I'll go ahead, Bubba.
Yeah, just a few things about the schedule in general. You look at it, and a lot of talk, understandably, has been made about the unorthodox nature of, you know, four consecutive home games. That is very strange. And, you know, I reflected back to, I think it was 2006, Skip Holt's second year. It wasn't to start the season because we were on the road at Navy and on the road at UAB. But then we played five consecutive home games that season. So it's something that, you know, given that we have seven home games and, you know, looking at it on paper, it sounds brutal and it's not ideal by any means in some respects. But I still like the entire schedule because you look at it after you have those first four at home, you still have six out of your first eight at home. And then you have a bye mixed in there after the BYU game before your trip to Cincinnati, I think it is. So
yep.
It definitely gets very challenging there in late October throughout the remainder of the season. Then you close things out up at Temple. And that game against Temple, it seems like when we play up there, it's either the last game of the season or, you know, one of the last two or three games of the season. And so now our program's finally progressing to the point where, like Coach Houston said when he took over, he wanted to be in a position, you know, where you had a quality running game and a quality defense to win games in cold weather, and we have that.
Oh, no doubt. I tell you what, the momentum, what I'm excited about, guys, everything, when you have, I think it's the November 11th, when you have Cincinnati, and then the 19th when you have Houston. And then you have the Temple game is the following week of Thanksgiving week. I just really believe, you know, you look at those last two out of three games are going to be hard. But think about it. If you have a whole bunch of wins going into those two games, you never know what can happen. And, you know, I'm not crazy. I understand the level of the Cincinnati and the Houstons of the world. But we gave Houston fits this year, you know. Cincinnati, you never know. Like, we could – you know, say they who's to say what's going to happen, but I can promise you, I look at the schedule and a conservative estimate right now, just looking, glancing at the schedule the last 2 days, yesterday and today, I'm going with 8-4 early, way too early predictions. I'm going 8-4. What do you got? Do you guys have a record? I know I'm crazy for doing that, but that's my gut feeling.
I definitely see eight wins for this team this year. No doubt about it. I absolutely see it. I think the one thing, this schedule is a trade-off in some ways because our bye is very late. That's the one thing that concerns me about it. Mm-hmm. So it's like you're almost like trading off. Do I want these first four games at home and then I get a late bye week? You know, so there's a little trade-off there. If we can stay healthy, I think that's the big thing. Like now we have some, we should have a lot more depth, you know, here in year four with Mike Houston. He's done a great job recruiting, more depth. If we can stay healthy, I think, through the first month of the season, at least through the first five weeks, then I could definitely see we're going to have a great chance to have an awesome season. But the bye week does come late. That's my only concern looking at the schedule. But I could easily see eight wins, Dave.
Yeah, it does come later than you. It does come later than you would probably like it for sure, Matt. But at least it does come at an opportune time in terms of it being between BYU and Cincinnati, because back to back road trips to Provo and then Cincinnati, that would be brutal. So now you at least have that extra time to get ready for the Bearcats coming off the game with BYU.
Yeah, you talk about you talk about the early the trade off too, Matt, with the four games at home. But my God, you have the at BYU, you have the Cincinnati, the Houston game. I mean, out of the last four games, you're looking at that. That's a that you start off. I wouldn't say easy, but the fact that at home games, you feel like I have a feeling that with this this team, we know that they're going to be much better this year. I think Holton Ahlers last year. Yes, you've lost some pieces on the wide receiver, but I think we're going to be okay overall. And then with the running game is going to be there, the defense is going to be there. That's what I look at. The defense is going to be even more improved, I think. So for me, there's a lot of those tight games that if you can run the clock like we do, you know, a lot of those 50-50 games we're talking about in basketball, well, a lot of the 50-50 games, I think this year we're going to finally – get over the hump, and we're going to win those games and take control of the game and run the clock where they don't have a choice. We're going to be getting 3, 4, 7 yards, you know, on each play where they're not going to be able to stop at the clock. It's just going to keep going. And then the defense is going to be where they're not going to give those X plays and, you know, keep everything in front of them. But I'm just really excited. When I saw the schedule yesterday, it was funny you said that. I was just like, wow, this is a schedule that – It's hard. It's not an easy schedule per se, but it's the scheduling gods were finally in our favor. And I tell you what, I'll take the momentum, and I would say that we're going to be playing really well in this December. Listen to me, I'd love to play in December and November. So why not have the momentum early on and get like our feet underneath us and. Man, if you can't get up, I'll just say this to Pirate Nation. If you can't get up for NC State on Labor Day weekend, you don't even need to be a Pirate fan. I'll just go ahead and say it. Sorry, that sounds ugly to say. And we need a lot of fans right now. But go ahead and get your tickets, right, Bubba? ECUPirates.com, 1-800-DIAL-ECU. Go ahead and get your tickets. And the home schedule is just going to be amazing. And as we have on the screen for those listening, packages as low as $125. Are you kidding me with that schedule? There are fans right now. They're going to – I bet you there's some NC State fans that are in Eastern North Carolina. They're going to buy those $125 tickets, season tickets, just so they can see the state game. So you better go ahead and get your tickets now. Guys, I'm very excited about football. Obviously, before we go, Bubba, I know we've got – we'll have the – obviously, the overtime for the UCF game on Sunday. Plus, it's going to be a busy day. It's our opening show for extra innings, right, Bubba?
Yep. Scooter, Scott Rogers, the new play-by-play voice of the Baseball Pirates, will be joining us. I'm sure, if not this week, in the near future, Trent Britt from Next Level will join us as well. Trent has excellent perspective, really knows the game, and you know, can break it down from a variety of angles. Had a son that played at Liberty, and really appreciate Trent and all that he and then the folks at Next Level Training Center do. So definitely give them a look. If you're in the Eastern North Carolina, you know, greater Greenville area, go to nextleveltc.com to check out everything they have to offer. Or if you have any questions, you can always call 252-756-NEXT.
They treat my kids great there, man. I tell you, I wish we were closer. If you get a chance in your Greenville, I'll take you when we're hanging out. I'll take you there. The place is just – if you're a sports fan, you probably go, oh, yeah, Next Level. It's that same old, same old. You walk in there and the wow factor is a 10. You're like, how in the world do we have some kind of facility like this in Greenville? It's a hidden gym for people that don't really? Know. Yeah, it's a really nice facility. Awesome. And we're lucky to have it. And people wonder, why is Pitt County, what you know, like the baseball is so good in Pitt County? It's because you have people like Trent Britt and Gainell Brett of Next Level to have that kind of facility. If you don't think that Greville takes Little League seriously, I mean, it's unbelievable how competitive it is. And Next Level speaks for itself. The name says it all. And I'm really happy to have my son has a hitting coach there. And that's what it's going to take for him to be, like the name says, at the next level. So, you know, it's so competitive, even in the league that we're in our hometown. It's very, very – they take – you know, we have a town of 5,000 people, but they take sports very serious here. Just like case in point me, like the bad parents out there. But thanks to Trent and Gainell, appreciate it very much for being the title sponsor. And, you know, it's like, what, is this the fourth season, Bubba, now? 19, 20, 21, and 22. We didn't really have much of a 2020 season with a cancel, but I think it's really the third full season of Extra Innings. So appreciate the support of them. Appreciate the support of PGX Clubs, right?
Yeah, this is the third year, to answer your question, of Extra Innings. And then obviously the second year, the Next Level Training Center has been our title sponsor. And in addition to that, show on Sunday night, on Monday, Monday afternoon, a little before 4 o'clock, I'll be recording an interview with Raekwon Boyette, the new outside wide receivers coach for East Carolina football. Obviously the wide receiver position, with everything that's going on this offseason, and with the departures of Tyler Snead, Audio Matosho, and the indefinite suspension of C.J. Johnson, a lot of issues and, you know, question marks, I should say, surround that receiver position. So a lot of talent, I think, is on campus. But some of those guys that are currently in the program are really going to have to step up. Then guys coming in like Jalen Johnson from the University of Georgia have an opportunity. Hey, and that young man won a national championship, but he's looking to show what he can do on a consistent basis and not be just, you know, occasionally targeted and more of a blocker. So, you know, some of the things we saw that he did in practice, hopefully those will transfer over to the field on Saturday. And I really think that he'll be a guy that will, you know, have at least 35, 40 receptions or something, if not more, next year.
No doubt. And I tell you what, I have a feeling, guys, and maybe I'm wrong, but, you know, Coach Houston is like, for those of us, we're all three of us are dads, we're parents. I think they did that to CJ to, you know, send him a message. His freshman year, he was, you know, playing out of his mind, and people didn't really know about him, you know. But he hasn't played up to his potential. He's been kind of, I don't know how other to say it nicely, but he's been screwing around on the field and off the field. Emotionally, he's been a wreck on the field. We could have easily had a whole bunch of 15-yard penalties. So I think they're sending him a message. I think you're going to see it's going to take him a lot to get back on the team. I'm not saying that. I mean, who knows whether he will or not. That's up to the coaches. That's who's for me to judge on that. But I put my money on CJ. I bet you that this is the best thing that's ever happened to him, personally and professionally, as far as the field, especially if he wants to play. Speaking of the next level, with the Shield NFL, he would never, ever make it at the current state he's in. So I feel like that he's going to – I think he has a shot. I really do, that he'll be playing with us this year. I really do.
Yeah, I mean, from everything we've heard, I mean, obviously Mike Houston, as the head coach, you know, caretaker of our program, he has a responsibility not only to those 100-plus guys in the program, but he also has a responsibility to C.J. Johnson. If he allows C.J. Johnson to get away with some of the things that we heard were going on, then, you know, is he really – is he truly loving C.J. Johnson? No, he wouldn't be. So that's the thing that a lot of people sometimes forget, because it's not what they want. That, you know, it's possible to have that tough love. And I think Coach Houston and staff, they had to draw the line somewhere. And, you know, hopefully C.J. will own up to the mistakes he's made and, you know, put in that work and check all those boxes, whatever those tasks are that he has to do to earn his way back into the graces, good graces, excuse me, of the coaching staff.
No
yeah,
doubt.
I hope so too. And you know, it's when you have an older guy like CJ, who's sort of a big name in the program. You know, he was a highly recruited kid. He's, you know, he's one of the bigger names, you know, for East Carolina football. That type of behavior can permeate through the team quickly, and those type of things can really hurt your culture. Like if you've ever been a part of a team on any level, every team has, you know, some sort of distractions like that. Your culture can be affected very, very quickly, especially when you have a pretty young roster like we do. And you don't want young players to pick up some bad habits like that. And, you know, I look at CJ as a kid who very talented, very emotional. He's going to mature. I'd love to see him get another chance. But I got to give credit to the coaching staff for trying to, you know, to sort of lay down the law now, because you don't want problems to permeate through the team, especially with a young roster.
And Matt,
yeah. Sorry, Dave, but just piggybacking very quickly off of what Matt was saying, you know, with the losses of Tyler Snead and Audie Omotosho, the easy thing for some coaches would be to look the other way. But, you know, to our coaching staff's credit, they didn't do that.
No, and I was going to say, Matt and Bubba, you both have played big level ball when it comes to football, or no matter what sports you play. Let me tell you something. You are not bigger than the program, okay? You are lucky, and you should take it serious. If I were Coach Houston, I would tell CJ now, and they probably have, and say, it's an honor to put on that purple and gold. Do you hear me? It's an honor to put on East Carolina, that jersey. And there's people like Matt Semenza, and we can start name thousands of former football players that have busted their tails, and you have so much ability and so much talent and so much skill, and you're wasting it. You're literally, excuse me the term, but you're pissing it away. And if you want to make it to the NFL, there's no way in the world right now that CJ Johnson, as much talent as he has, will make the NFL. Exactly. Your last name is ECU. And so for me, what I'm looking at right now, guys, is I would just simply tell him, you're not bigger than the team. If you want to be on the team, you got to be a team player. Stop doing the whining about, yes, guess what? People know that you're talented, so they're going to grab your jersey. You know why? Because you're like, you scream every time somebody grabs your jersey, and they get in your head. And they know that with your talent, if they don't grab your jersey, you could score a touchdown on or get a big gain on every single play. So they know the talent, the scouting out there know that's what you do when you're CJ Johnson. You know, that's what you do against him. So the first year they didn't know that. But anyway, we'll have more discussions on that with CJ Johnson. I like the kid a lot. I don't want to sound like that I'm anti-CJ. You're a dad, Matt. I'm a dad. And I feel like that, even though a weird way as a dad, I feel like that's what we have to do. Those of us that love the program.
yeah, I Craig, think we are, Craig.
Craig.
Yeah,
we got a lot left.
Yeah, we could talk as much as we love Pirate Nation. We can, hey guys, we could raise money for the Pirate Club, couldn't we? We'll just stay up all night and do a show and raise money for it. But do you guys have anything before we go? I know we're very passionate, and I know the baseball team is going to do well the next 2 days, today and tomorrow. So don't get out of the panic room. We're going to be fine against Bryant. That's my last thought.
Go ahead, Bob.
Go ahead, man.
I was just going to say, I'm really, you know, more focused on basketball right now. Like I was saying earlier, I want to see this team go down to Orlando, lay it all out there on the floor, win 50-50 balls, you know, get dirty, loose ball on the floor, dive for it, go get it, finish the season the right way. You can go down there and pull off this win. I mean, it's not like this is some unwinnable game. So let's go try to get this game and see what happens. And I'm pulling for Dooley. I'd love to see him finish the season strong and keep this thing moving in the right direction. So we'll see. And good luck to baseball tomorrow.
He's a Jersey guy. Come on.
Oh yeah, absolutely, man. We Jersey guys stick together. So I'm pulling for Dooley.
What about you, Bubba?
I really don't have anything else. I'm just like Matt said, after the way that UCF game unfolded when Brandon Suggs went down, and yeah. we were unable to hold that 20-point lead, ended up losing in overtime. I mean, our guys know that they can obviously compete with UCF, as that game showed. Yeah. And I think, you know, Brandon Suggs, it'll be interesting to see how he plays on Sunday, considering that was the game he got hurt. It would not shock me to see Brandon come out and play very well. And in order to pull the – what would be a pretty, you know, pretty big upset, you know, being honest, on the road, I think UCF something like 15 or 16 and 10 now. And they're not going to be able to make the NCAA tournament unless they win the tournament. But they are, you know, in decent shape if they have a solid close to the regular season and a good showing in the tournament to make the NIT.
Oh, most definitely. I definitely think they're going to be an NIT unless, like you said, unless they tank the last few games for sure. All right, well, I appreciate you, Matt. Great to see you again, my friend. I know
too, man.
Sicknesses and work schedules and all, we haven't been able to hang out much on the show. Bubba, man, thank you so much behind the scenes. Bubba is like the unsung hero. He does a lot of stuff behind the scenes. I can't thank you enough. You've been the glue for the show many, many times. But with all the craziness that's been going on behind the scenes with sickness, with work schedules, a whole bunch of stuff, I appreciate even more what you've done over the last, say, month or two. So thank you, dude, for all that you do. We're going to get out of here. We'll get some rest. I know we've all been up since 4, 5, 6 o'clock in the morning for me, and 4, 5. I think it's 4, 5, and 6 when we got up here. So we'll get
out
of here. Can't
even keep my eyes open anymore.
Exactly. All right, guys, we'll get out of here. Thank you so much, and good day. And as always, my friends, go Pirates.